Well, yeah, it's full enough. Well, hello, I'm Michael, also known as Evil Dragon from the community. I'm one of the Pandora developers. I don't know how many have heard about the Pandora already here. Well, that's quite a lot, so I don't need to explain much about the Pandora. Just a brief overview. Well, we've got an ARM Cortex A8 CPU running at 600 megahertz. So with the 2,000 Pandoras already delivered, we know that most of them can go up to 1 GHz or to 1.5, 2 GHz. So the 600 is just the stock speed that TI tells that the CPU should run it, but you can overclock an ARM without any issues. It won't cause any problems. Then we've got another DSP in there, which is can be used for video decoding or stuff like that. But of course, everybody who knows a bit of coding knows that coding a DSP is pretty hard. So I don't think any application is using that right now. But we know, well, it's there. And if there are any hardcore coders, they can use it. Then we've got a PowerVR STX OpenGL ES-compatible 3D hardware. It's powerful enough to run some things like Quake 3 engine. It can be used to run any other 3D games, Irrlicht, Ogre 3D. Those engines can be ported on the Pandora, and some people are already working on that. So, touchscreen with 800x480 resolution, 16.7 millions of colors, which is quite, well, if you haven't seen the device, it's pretty small, so it's basically a mini PC for your pocket, and 800x480 is a pretty cool resolution for such a device. Then we've got Wi-Fi in there, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So on the go, web browsing, IRC, I've got IRC running, for example, on my unit here at the FOSDEM, is possible as well. Or if you've got a mobile phone, I've got my phone in my pocket, I've got Bluetooth tethering on, and then I have internet on the go with a proper web browser and not just some funny touch browser thingy. I don't like that touch UI, so I'm rather happy to have a normal browser with which I can use with a D-pad. Then we've got two HDSC card slots in the front. Yes? Some questions? Oh, no, okay. Some people were asking why do we have two slots. Well, that's for one reason. This device is meant to be hackable. Basically, it's meant to run open source. And while we've got an operating system on the internal storage, it is possible to boot from the first SD card. So if you want to run Arch, Linux, Debian, Ubuntu, or anything else, or want to just hack on the system, you can just put it on your first SD card, boot from that, and then you still got a second SD card slot left for games, for videos, for movies, for anything. So that's the reason we have two SDHC card slots, and I think the biggest capacity right now for HDSC is even 64 gigabyte cards, so nope. Well, you can...
I use 128 in one.
Yes?
Yes.
And it works?
Yes.
So, well, you've got 256 gigabytes in here if you want. That's great. Is it an 8?
Huh? Can you run it in RAID?
Basically, yes, you can do those.
Yeah,
so
you can only boot from one, you said?
If you, well, you can boot from the internal operating system and then set up a RAID. If you boot from one, it will be hard to set it up as RAID, sure. Are those SDHC cards you have?
Yeah, it's a Lexar.
Wow, didn't know it. SDHC goes up to 128. I thought that
yeah,
would be.
Yeah, SDXC, but.
SDX.
Yeah. With a different file system, it should also work.
Ah, I haven't checked the SDXC cards out yet, so.
Yeah.
But if they work, that's great.
There's different standards for SDXC,
yes?
And if it's 3.0, it works, and if it's 4.0, it doesn't work.
Ah, okay.
So they'll stop.
Mm-hmm.
The new ones will stop.
Great to know. Question?
Even booting from the SD card, you can put it on RAID. The boot up is dependent on the root process.
Well, yeah, sure. You could make a small boot section and then make a RAID on two cards for the rest. Yeah, that would work as well. Of course, then there's no special bootloader on there. There's just U-boot, where the source code is also available, so you can do anything. Because I know some smartphones where Linux is being ported as well, they have problems with closed bootloaders. Of course, we have an open one. And it's unbrickable, so there's a hardware in there that always allows to boot from a specially prepared SD card. So you can play around, you can flash a new U-boot, and in case it doesn't boot, just use a recovery flash card and then it's back to the old state. So we really designed the device to be hackable and to be played with. You could stay on. Thank you. That's the reason for two HD SD card slots. Then you've got S-video and composite video output. For some reason, it didn't work here. The projector probably doesn't like it. I've been using it on my TV, for example. And as you also got an USB port, you can basically connect a keyboard and a mouse to the USB port, connect the TV out to your normal television, and then you've got a mini PC on your television. It's pretty cool if you're in a hotel room and you've got a Pandora with you, connect keyboard and mouse, connect it to the TV, and well, you've got your internet computer. Then, of course, as this is for gaming development, we are meeting here, the Pandora has been designed for with gaming usage in mind, so we've got two analog controllers here. We've got a D-pad, we've got proper buttons, and we've got L and R buttons. And the 2,000 people who are using it all are pretty sure about that this D-pad is one of the best available. It's really, really a very good D-pad, and it's not one of those crappy ones you have on most controllers nowadays. If you buy any controller at a shop, or if you just take a look at the Xbox controller, the D-pads are not really usable. So that's pretty cool that we've got a very well working here as well. And you got a normal keyboard here, so a thumb keyboard with every keys. It's also been set up to be used properly with the Linux shell. So you can type pretty fast if you're used to it. I'm actually even writing some scripts or some Pygame Python stuff on the Pandora as myself. So you can code on it, you can compile on it, you can distribute on it, you can do any game development directly on the Pandora if you want. And one important thing is the battery life. You got about 10 hours. Some people have 13 hours. It always depends on what you are doing. But you usually have 10 hours of battery life per session. So playing games for 10 hours, that's quite a long time.
It was under full load. We're not talking about idle time.
Yeah. Well, idle time with the new 3.2 kernel, which currently is being ported, we've got an idle time of about 30 hours right now. If the SSD is switched off, but well, depends on what you're planning to do with it. And lastly, the RAM and NAND. The first units had 256 megabytes. The new ones that are being produced within the next weeks in Germany have 512 megabytes of RAM available, and we've got an internal storage of 512 megabytes. That's usually just for the internal operating system. So with 512 megabyte of RAM, you can do quite a lot of nice games for the display. I think there's only one game that has problems right now with the memory, and that's Battle for Vesnoth. It runs quite nice on the 256 megabyte version, but the huge maps sometimes run out of memory. But all other games currently out there don't have any memory issues. Well, the great thing is the Pandora is running a full Linux environment. It's not just any, it's really a full environment with Xorg, you've got GTK, you've got Qt, you've got SDL Allegro, OpenGLES. You can also exec the direct frame buffer. You can code in Python and Pygame. This is pretty neat. So compiling and coding a game or porting a game from a Linux PC usually is just you take the game, you make some minor changes to the code, and then you compile it and it works. Sometimes you don't even need to make any changes to the code. Most of the changes you need to do to port your game from Linux or from Windows to the Pandora is make it fit the resolution, because a lot of games are not meant for 800x480 resolution, and change the input to be used with the D-pad. So the buttons and the D-pad are just normal keyboard controls. The D-pad actually are just the cursor keys. The buttons are page up, page down, and home and end. So if you can configure your keyboard, or if a user can configure the keyboard setup for gaming in the game himself, then it works out of the box with a Pandora. So this is something that's which I actually like, because for other devices you need to get a development kit, you need to set up your own SDK and everything like that. Here you can just use your current environment setup, install the tool chains with the needed libraries, and then set up a cross compiler. And that's it. Then you can all do your usual configure, your usual make, and it will compile and run on the Pandora. One of the nice things is there's actually a complete development environment available for the Pandora as well. So if you don't want to set up a cross-compiler on your computer, you can actually just use a Pandora to code. I think somebody even ported something like CodeBlocks or similar, but there are some development editors available on the Pandora as well. And you can then simply use GNU CC to compile it. So yeah, it couldn't be easier if you're already a gaming developer on Linux to just code for a system. Then there are also various game development engines. For example, we've got Pengine, which is an engine that has been coded directly for the Pandora by the community member. The member is already working on Pengine 2, as far as I know. It's basically similar to STL, but it allows some more functions that make game development easier, as well as BennoGD. I don't know, does anyone know BennoGD here? Nobody? It's basically some kind of a scripting language which makes games development even easier than with the standard tools. But of course, if you're using if you're using standard tools to code, that's fine as well. Then, as said, Ocarina 3D is portable. I think somebody's working on that, but he's not finished his port, as well as Panda 3D or Irrlicht. So there are 3D engines out there as well. The Quake engine has already been ported, so if you just want to grab the Quake engine and make a new game around that, that's possible as well. So there are a lot of tools that can help you develop and code games for it. The next thing, and this was one of the things where we had to think about it quite a lot, that is the way how to package and distribute the games. A lot of people said, well, just use the normal Linux package manager because, well, you've got a full Linux system in there. Why not use an existing package manager? There was one reason, and that was a problem with all package managers I've encountered for Linux. These always have a database and store the files on an internal storage. While you can tell the package managers to store the data, like the games, on the SD cards, there's no package manager that doesn't want to make use of an internal database. So as soon as you remove the SD card, it breaks, or the user accidentally deletes a few files from there, then the package manager gets broken because the files he thinks that are there installed from the database don't work anymore. So we need to find a system, a package system that works. It's very flexible and versatile and can be used with ease for the user and for the developer. And that's why we developed the PND system for easy installation. Basically, what the user needs to do is just download the PND onto his SD card, either using the Pandora directly or just going to the web, download, save on the card, that's it. And then as soon as he puts his SD card into the unit. I wanted to show that via TV out, but sadly it's not working. But you can check out later the OpenMoco booth if you want to see that for yourself. If the user inserts the SD card, it takes a few seconds to scan all applications and games that are on this SD card, and then they immediately appear in the menu. So I've got about 150 to 200 games and apps on my SD cards. When I put them in, takes about 5 seconds and all of them are in the system. And as they are omitting standard desktop files, they are in the correct category, so no need to sort them manually. They are all where they should be. And as soon as I remove the SD card, these apps disappear again. So we have a system which doesn't care about any databases for a package manager. It just cares about what's on the SD card, and then the system knows about these games. Of course, for the developer, the PND should also be easy to create. And if you take a closer look at the PND is basically just an archive, including the data files, the binary, anything you need for your games, and a proper XML information file, that's what we call PXML, and an icon and screenshot. We've got a tool, just a command line tool, to say package this directory with this PXML file and this icon, And then you get a PND file, and that works. So it's pretty easy for the developer as well to package the games. And what you can also do as developer, you can put it into your configure and make scripts. I know some devs have set it up, if they just have a new version, compile it, it spits out PND files. So no need for manual interaction as well. Those are a few old screenshots. Of course, so let me see if I got an internet connection here. Yes, I got it. Great. We've set up something, the community set up something else. That's the repository. And basically, all the games that exist for the Pandora and all the applications get uploaded to the repository. The Pandora can automatically update stuff that's on the repository, similar to a normal package manager. And you can also just run the store, select I want this game installed on this SD card, and then it's installed as well. What's really great about the repository is you've got all the information, the description of the game, screenshots, the name, inside the PND archive already. All you need to do is upload the PND to the repo. You don't have to enter any additional data, it just does this itself. So, for example, if we take a look at Super Geometry Dust here, then we can see package author, the description for the package, website. You can also set up a donation link if you want to get support. And there are additional infos as well as preview pictures. This is all inside the PND file. So the repository can show this, as well as the Pandora package system. So any game installed on the Pandora, if you just select it and want to see the documentation or the screenshots or any information about it, you can do so. So in the end, you'll have a store similar set up to the Android Marketplace or the iOS store, where you can just run your open the store on your Pandora, browse through the files, check screenshots, check descriptions, say download, and it's installed. So the distribution is also taken care of, but of course we're here open source, we don't want to force anyone to use anything. You don't have to use the repository. You can also put the PND on your own website. If you want to support the download from the store, we've got a JSON system to interact between the store and the website, so you can also post updates on your website that will automatically be downloaded from the Pandora itself. All the specifications, of course, are available at the internet. We've got a wiki set up. We've got the full OS as a Git, so if you want to help develop the operating system as well or check what files are in there, it's all in the Git. And of course, as we are a community for gaming development, we've got an IRC set up. I've got it here, but as said, I wanted to show it from here, but that didn't work. But you can check out the links to the IRC on the Pandora wiki and on the Pandora website. That's openpandora.org. And of course, links to the repository are also there. So what we try to achieve here is a system which is easy to use for the normal user, which we have by just downloading the PNDs, which is easy to code for the developer. It uses standard tools, and the packages are easy to create, and where you can do anything you want. You've got full flexibility with the possibility to do it pretty easy. So that's basically what the Pandora was thought about. And well, if you followed the complete production, you know that there's been a lot of problems producing the hardware. Who's been following the project from the very beginning? A few. Okay, then I make a brief summary of what happened. Basically, the system itself is not developed by a major company. We are not Sony or anything like that. The idea for the system actually came from an online community that was on gp32x.com. We asked them, what would you like for a gaming handheld? And then they said, well, of course, proper gaming controls. Then some wanted a keyboard so they can play Amiga games or C64 games on an emulator. And yeah, it fully works. We've got a full Amiga in here. They wanted a high-resolution screen to be able to play some X games or something like that, because they usually have high-resolution windows. And of course, they wanted a lot of battery power, and they wanted the system to be pretty robust and easily be pocketable. Pretty complicated word for German. Well, and those ideas, we just took all the ideas we got, and then we started the development. The hardware developer also was from the community. He's sitting in Canada. Then we got a case developer. He was also from the community. He's sitting in US. Then the main guy who started it all, that was Craig, is sitting in UK. I'm from Germany. And then we've got one who sourced all the parts we needed, and he's from Turkey. So we are not no big company who said, hey, let's create a device and make money from that. We are just a few guys from the community which had the idea together with the community to create a device. While this was pretty cool, because the support from the community was great, it also led to some problems. We were pretty inexperienced designing such a device, so we had no idea how long it will take. Craig, the one from UK, is one of those who is always pretty optimistic, and he thought, well, it's finished now, we can deliver in 2 months. That was end of 2008. I actually believed we will have the device in 2008, because I didn't care about the hardware design until then, and I thought, well, I guess he checked it all out. But that didn't work out. And then, well, a lot more things happened. We had the problem that the people were paying the money for the Pandora in advance, so we had the money to produce it. Which led to the fact that the bank and the credit card companies thought there's fraud going on, because within a few days we collected over $1 million. Then the money was frozen, and we had to refund the money and find other ways to get the money. This caused a delay of a few weeks or a month even, because we needed to buy the parts from that money, and that wasn't possible. Also, while the first prototypes were working, there were always a few issues which needed to be fixed, both for the cases and both for the boards. And that's what took a lot of money, a lot of time as well, and we didn't expect that. Just if you ever design any hardware like that, just to do a new revision of the board takes about 4 to 6 weeks. So you just made your changes, and then you tell the changes to the company to produce a prototype. It takes 4 to 6 weeks, because they need to get the parts, which are hard to get. And, well, it all added up to about, well, I think 1 or 2 years. Then 2009, early 2009, development was finished, and we just wanted to produce, which sounded easier than it actually was. We told the company in Texas to produce 4,000 boards. They started. A few boards failed, but, well, we thought that was okay, they will fix that. But it got worse. Even worse with over time. First, they promised us they can deliver 500 boards per week. And a low level? Nope. First, they told us they can produce 500 Pandoras per week. Actually, it came about to 400 Pandoras per month, which was a lot slower than what they expected. And then a lot of these units were not working. And in the end, I think they took about 1 year just to deliver 3,000 boards. 1,000 are not working at all. So they cost us a loss of €300,000 about that. And together with the community, I found developers to move the production to Germany. That actually was last year in August. And now prototype boards were running fine. We made 15 prototype boards, which are all working fine. And production in Germany will start in 2 weeks, and I'll be there because they are just around my corner. So everything should work out nicely from now on.
Deliverable in 2 months.
Yeah, 2 months. I hope it will be very fast, but you never know until it really happens. But to be honest, no problem. I actually think this German company, where I've been a few times already, will be able to produce the boards. And, well, we already know it couldn't be worse than what they did in Texas over there. So let's hope it will work out. One more thing I just saw is the PXML file. this is a real, where's this minimum one? As we said, the only thing you need to include in the package are PXML files. I've got a few examples how it's set up. This is a minimum version. It has a package idea. Each package ID should be unique for your program so that the file manager and the update manager knows what this game is about. Then you've got a version number, of course, so that the repository and the Pandora will know there are updates available. That's nothing special. Then you've got the author's name. You've got the sample application, so the name for the application, usually in English language, though you can use any other language as well and include them here. Then we've got some information about the package. What command should it run? Again, the titles, this is for compatibility with the old version.
It isn't.
It is. Oh, no, that's here.
That's the difference between package and application. One package, one PND, can include 100 applications.
Ah, yeah,
for
right.
For example, you can create one gaming bundle inside one single package.
Yeah, he's actually also working on the PND, and on the PXML system. So, as you can see, the community is actually the one developing everything for the operating system, which is great. And this is then the remaining, the extra proc for compatibility with all the OS operating system versions. So this is the minimum version, which will work on the Pandora and on the repository. So you just basically have to file in all your information and that's it. The full version offers a lot more. Let's just go through the full version. Of course, we've got the same package ID, author name, but you can also include the website and the email. Title, here's the title in German, for example. Then you can make a description for the game. Same, of course, in German language. You can include an icon. And here are different applications. That was it's easier to see it here. Yeah, right here, application ID. You have requires X11, so the system knows that the X server is required. Author's name again, sample application again, in different languages. So there's a lot of more. Then you can include the license. Of course, GPL, your own custom license, you can include anything, including the source code, the websites for the source code. You can include a README file, some documentation which will show up in the doc directory of the Pandora. You can include preview pics, as many as you like, which of course is nice for the user if he goes to the website, the repository, and wants to check out is this an interesting game title or not. Screenshots are always pretty good. Then you can include it, include categories, for example, game and emulator or system and emulator, so you've got it in two categories. These are just following the free desktop standards. So once that's in, it will run on any desktop environment you've got on your Pandora. Right now we've got XFCE running and some kind of minimal menu, which is just meant to be suited for gamers. But KDE, LXDE, everything basically is possible. And as long as as the desktop environment supports the standard desktop files, it will work with the PNDs. So I guess there will be a lot more coming later on. Some more sample applications. So French name, French description, different licenses. So yeah, that's a full PXML. You can include a lot of things. So basically, that's a quick overview over the Pandora. One thing, you can also sell your commercial applications. While we're here for open source development, open source doesn't always mean you don't want any money from it. As said, you can include a donate button. So if you just want some donations for the user, for some users, you can get them. But if you say, well, I've got such a complicated application, I've developed 5 years on that, and I want to sell it for €2, you can do so as well. The difference between our repository and any other major app stores are the full money is going to the developer. We are not taking any share from that, because we are happy if any applications appear out there, and so the sales will not be as high as on any iOS or an Apple or any Android game, because just the user base is way smaller. But if you sell it for €1 or something like that, you will get the full €1, and we won't take anything from that, which is, well, it might be attractive for some users, but I think we've got about two commercial applications right now, and a lot more free applications. Of course, the community is a very open community, and they like open source, and they support open source. That's what we want to do as well. So, basically, that's just an overview about the Pandora. What might be interesting is I've got a few pictures of the development at the beginning. This was our first design we had in mind. It didn't have any keyboard directly on the system, but it had a keyboard. It was supposed to have some attachment here so you can attach it to the keyboard. What's funny about that, this design has been created, I think, 2006, 2007, and there are now some tablet PC netbooks that do exact this thing, where you can just detach the keyboard. So we had that idea as well, but it was pretty hard to create in for such a small system, so we went for the normal clamshell design. So you can see here, remove it from the hinge and have a full keyboard down there. This was the next design, also clamshell, but it would have been awkward to have the controls here in play. So that's the reason the keyboard, the controls were being put beside the keyboard. This was another one with a docking station, and where you can put the keyboard on the back. Don't know if that would have been would have worked out, because turning a hinge 180 degrees is actually pretty hard to design. Well, up, and this was the first scribble of the final design. That's from the designer Michael Weston himself. Number pad, button, start, select, menu, etc. This is pretty much what came out of it: the knobs, the three buttons, the keypad. But this was the very, very first design which started it all, which is pretty neat to look at. And then we had the first renderings. Now it's getting more, looking more and more like the final one. This is one of the first boards we had. Still the knobs missing, and well, no battery connector except that. The other side, Wi-Fi module was missing, so that's a pretty old one. This was the first public presentation we had. This was in Germany. We had the D-pad glued on, because we didn't have a case until then. But people could go there and play games, and well, they liked it already. As you can see, Vesnoth. I think most of the Vesnoth that are here today. One of the great games on the Pandora, you wouldn't believe it, but it plays, for me, it plays as good as on the PC, on this small screen. You can use the D-pad for playing, and you can use the stylus for selecting your units. So this is one of the games that really show off what you can do with the Pandora, because it has a high-resolution graphics, which looks great on that screen. It uses the touchscreen, and it uses the controls as well, and the keyboard. So yeah, some people were playing it there with the stylus. This was the first testing case with some connections, TV out cable, one USB cable, and another one. And yeah, I think that's some testing setup. This is the pre-final board. That was the board that has been produced in Texas at CircuitCo. The final boards those are a few of the final boards. And now this is the team. This is me. This is Craig, in case you haven't seen him yet. This is the guy who was crazy enough to really start it all. Unfortunately, he's not very good at organizing things, I think. He's got great ideas, and he pulls it through, but he only reacts when something happens, which is pretty bad, because some parts have lead times of a few weeks, and if you react when something happens, you lost a few weeks of time. This is the guy who actually did the hardware, Michael Weston. And this is Fatih from Turkey, who's still helping me to source all the parts. So I think this is the end, yeah. This was the last I have here for the Pandora. The remaining time should be open for questions. Anything you would like to know, any question about the production, about anything else, I'm happy here to answer your questions.
One at the front.
One at the front, yeah.
And what about save games? Are they stored with SD card or?
Save games? Yes. The PND system is set. You put the PNDs directly on the card, and it creates an application app data directory, which is similar to the home directory on your normal desktop. And every game saves automatically its data on in this directory. So you can delete the PND if you need storage, and you won't lose your save games. Yes? That's a good question. Right now they are just basically ISO files, I think SIP is GSIP is also allowed as well, which are packages. That might be something for Niels. Do you know if you can cryptographically sign PNDs? Would that work?
No.
Not yet, but it could be implemented.
It could be implemented.
Yeah. So it's not, well, the source code for the libraries is available as well. So if you want to include cryptographic, it would work. Yes, that's a great thing about being open. Yes.
Is there an emulator for your Pandora so that I can develop on a PC and run it in an emulator to see if it works?
A lot of people have asked that already. There's not really an emulator where you could set up with QEMU an ARM emulator and start a normal desktop. The reason we don't really have an emulator for it is it uses standard development tools. Okay. So as long as you got a PC with SDL and stuff like that, you can just code and compile. And if it runs on your PC, it will most likely also run on the Pandora. That's a good thing about it. But it might be a good idea to really set up an image for it. I'm already setting up an image which you can use for cross-compiling, because some users already have problems setting up a cross-compiler properly. So with this image, you can just download it, run it in VirtualBox, and then develop for the Pandora. It has all the needed libraries included. But we don't have any emulator for the real system as well at the moment. But, well, nobody needed it so far, because, as said, it's just a normal Linux cross-compile. So compile it for your normal system, and then do the cross-compile, and it should work out of the box. Yes?
How did you evolve the hardware for make it up to date? Did you have outdated?
We only updated the RAM. Mm-hmm. At the moment, we didn't update the SoC. Actually, we hear quite a lot that some people think the hardware is outdated, but actually it isn't outdated, because one thing that's happening today with all these smartphones. The developers, the companies throw smartphones out every half a year. They don't even optimize the potential, and they don't even use the potential of the CPU. You can try a Pandora outside yourself. We've got a few here. The X server runs fast. Actually, it runs way faster than some Androids on actual modern smartphones that use a newer SoC. It is able to emulate a full PlayStation at full speed with 600 megahertz. And with QEMU, we are currently emulating a PC, a full PC, 486 with 66 megahertz in full speed. That's not possible on the modern smartphones, because Android, for example, uses a lot of overhead and it's not optimized. As we are using Linux here, only the minimum needed services are running when you're playing a game. And there's a lot more things to do with Pandora. It's a lot of optimizing. So it's similar to the old systems like the PSP, the Amiga, the C64. If you take a look at the early Amiga games and compare them with the later Amiga games, they are worlds apart, but it's still the same hardware. And that's what we're looking here as well. The first games 1.5 years ago were, well, simple ports. They were not running properly. They had some VSync issues with SDL. They didn't use the hardware properly. And now we have hardware acceleration in SDL. We've got a lot of examples how proper development can happen. Some people are using the Neon, which is basically similar to an FPU, and a lot more things are possible. And so right now, I don't think we need a new hardware. Another issue with new hardware is that the new SoCs often are dual core. Which would be nice for multitasking if you have multiple apps running. But for gaming, using a dual core is kind of a problem because you need to code it, especially to use both cores. And those cores need more power than the old one. So you would lose battery power, but you couldn't use the second CPU, so there's no real need to upgrade. It's similar to when you compare old computers. Trying to run an updated Windows X or Windows 7 on an old computer will probably be very slow. But if you use an optimized Linux on an old machine, it runs pretty fast. And it's similar here. Yes?
The folder was a DSP system.
What? The? DSP? Yes?
Is there any work on it to make it more
accessible? It already is accessible. The only issue that is, it needs 32 megabyte of RAM fixed. So on boot up, you have 32 megabytes of memory less available for the system, and then you can use the DSP. So anybody can code for it. I've seen on the boards that somebody ported the GStreamer TI onto the Pandora, which means you have you can use the DSP to play H.264 files in full HD and stuff like that in real time. But the question is, would you really sacrifice 32 megabyte for that?
No.
Basically, it's just a kernel option, so you could select on boot time if you want to use the DSP or not. And I noticed that some developers are also working on making this virtually, putting this on user space, so you can enable those 32 megabytes and disable them. With the new Pandoras from Germany with 512 megabytes, okay, sacrificing 32 megabytes is not a big deal. But currently, with the old units, nobody wanted to use it right now. It's hard to code for this. It's a lot of work to code for this, but yeah, the only real solution would be currently, or the only real use would be the GStreamer TI files for playing videos. Okay. Few minutes left, yes?
You mentioned OpenGL ES support, right?
Yes.
So, which version does it support?
2.1, yeah.
Okay.
Yes?
Why the name?
Pandora? Actually we thought about a lot of names for the device. At first we had names from animals like tiger or lion and stuff like that. But then we thought we are going to sell this thing internationally and we want one name that works internationally without any translation. Lion would be Löwe in German and would have a different name in other countries, so it wouldn't suit. And then we thought, well, the Pandora is kind of mystical from the name. The name is worldwide the same, and well, you open a box, so this was probably...
I have nasty stuff inside.
Yeah, nasty stuff inside. But the good thing is the rest that stays in there. The hope is left. So this is how we thought a lot of different names, but the only one that was really sounding good and had a nice touch feel to it was the Pandora.
How about sound?
Currently we've got OSS and ALSA on there, so you can also use standard sound coding. It has pretty good.
Microphone?
It has a microphone in here, and on the headphones connector you can also connect the headset to use audio in. And on the TV out, there's also a TV audio in port, basically. It also has serial output. So for ports, you have serial output for debugging if you want, though you can also just use the console. You can use Wi-Fi to just SSH into your unit, start the game, and see what it outputs while it's running the game. So it's easy. You don't need an expensive development kit. All you need is a normal PC, a connection, either through network, internet, or to the serial output, and then you are set to develop.
How can you connect to the serial output? What kind of cable do you need?
It's a custom cable because we couldn't fit all the ports onto the Pandora. But we've got the X connectors available now. I've got about 10,000 in my at home now. I will put them in the shop, so you can solder the cables yourself if you want. We might offer a serial cable as well. We're just looking about into that, if it's how expensive it is to be made. But you can also use the USB connector. Use the USB to serial cable and then use that serial out.
For kernel debugging.
For kernel debugging, yeah, then you should use the X port. But that's possible. If anybody wants to help with kernel debugging, we can probably also offer pre-soldered cables for that as well. custom made, because kernel work is a lot of hard work and it's hard to get proper kernel developers. Well, we've got one kernel developer basically that's Notas. He's doing all the work and he puts all his stuff upstream. So if you just grab the current kernel and compile it, it has a lot of things working on the Pandora as well already. There was another question up there. Another question? Digital sound? It doesn't have any digital sound output. You could probably just grab it from the board if you want. There are a few connectors on the board. You have some GPIO lines as well. So if you open up the unit, you can even do more hacking if you want. But there's no digital sound output right now.
Via network?
Hmm?
Could you forward additional sound via network?
Sure, of course. You can use a normal network and you could theoretically set up a Pulse Audio server and a Pulse Audio client and then forward it through network as well. Oh, well, you can connect a USB digital output card. That would work out of the box. Yes?
How about the specifications for the case? Are they open on the net as well so that you could basically, for example, build your own case?
No, that's one of those things. I would love to have them online, but the designer doesn't want... They are a bit scared that there will be Chinese clones of the unit. I'm not that scared, but, well, it's the right of the designer. He just did it and licensed it to us to be used. I would be happy to give it out, but...
It's not open hardware, then?
Hmm?
It's not open hardware, actually.
No, open hardware, no. It's just hardware designed to be used with open source software. Well, maybe I can get the developer to at some time to release the hardware. I wanted to have it released from the very beginning, but there's one thing I'm pretty happy about, that he decided to not make it open, because if we would have opened, the full specs would have been, and the full hardware design would be available for 3 years now. If any company just took the design and produced this, be it in China or anything else, then we would have lost anything we put into the project, and we also put a lot of money in there. So I did understand it back then at that time, but maybe when we made enough sales for the Pandora to at least get our expenses back, I can get him to release the hardware. Would be great.
I wouldn't worry about that, because they're impossible to manufacture.
Yeah. Well, they're impossible to manufacture if you're a normal person. Yeah, that's right. You can't put an OMAP and POP onto your board yourself. To be honest, to make a prototype would cost about €3,000, so it wouldn't make sense. So yeah, probably the closed hardware. If you open the hardware, the only person who would actually do something would be a different company who would clone the device. That's true.
But it's still aimed at a niche market, so for a big company, maybe it wouldn't be interesting to copy the device as such.
It depends.
Which, of course,
well, nowadays, yeah, I agree with you nowadays, yeah. But 3 years ago when we started the full project, this was the only device in that size available. Well, it still is the only mini PC running Linux in that size. But a lot of similar devices are coming out. So any company seeing, hey, well, we could do put Android on that, anything's possible, then they wouldn't need to develop anything. They would just grab the files, would do the boards, and that's it.
Now they only have to buy one, have to order one and wait until they receive it and copy it afterwards.
Would be hard, because it's an 8-layer board, so you would need to do X-ray and do anything like that. But if the schematics are available, you know what's happening there and you can simply change things yourself. Yes?
How about the final price?
Final price right now is about €375. It's been made in Germany, that's why it's a bit more expensive. There are two reasons I didn't want to go to China. First thing is, you never know what's happening in China. They might do your work, they might not. You never know that. And the second thing is, it's an open device. It's made for an open source community. I wouldn't feel good. I would feel guilty, actually, if I used some low-wages country where some slavery work has happened, basically, to produce a device which is meant for others to enjoy and to code on, for a community device. A community device made in a low-wages country, that doesn't sound right for me. So I rather have lower sales and know that it's been properly produced. Okay, that's all. Okay. Any more questions? I think time is
over.
Over already. Okay. Well, if you got any more. Thank you. If you have any more questions or want to take a look at the system, we are just around the corner at the Open Locos booth at the table. So you can check out, you can play some games, you can see the system, you can ask more questions. So I'm happy to help out.